Ben Moore has been in love with bees for as long as anyone can remember. And as far as we can tell, the feeling is entirely mutual. Although he still sometimes feels the sting of his passion. Hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hey everyone, Bees with Ben, another awesome episode on this week. Now, I've got an awesome, awesome guest who's been around in Melbourne for quite some time, and we're going to hear all about her journey with bees and bee business and so forth. So I'm really excited for this one. So this is Carmel from CMG Honeybee. I'm going to put all the details in the show notes. If you want to check out her social media and her website, definitely check it out. But Carmel is absolutely amazing. So the first question I ask Carmel, how's your day and what did you get up to?
Yes, it's been good, actually. I was at the Seed of Life Upway Market today, helping out the Basin Backyard. It starts pretty early. You've got to get there early to set up. And I'm driving from the western side of the city to the eastern. But there's something really beautiful about watching the sun come up in the morning, and it just rises over the over the Dandenongs there, and light comes into the sky and it makes it all worth it, even when it's chilly. So, yeah, I'm loving that. You know, it's nice, actually.
That's so true. It's interesting you say that about sunrises, because I know sunsets are nice, but, it's a diminishing act, a sunset. And I think sunrises, and I think most beekeepers, we love sunrises, don't we?
Yeah, it does. It kind of makes up having to get up early worth it, It's like, because you're driving and the roads are, semi-empty, and you're going, not many people actually get to see this, especially in wintertime when it's, everyone's tucked up in their bed, and I'm one of the few people that's out and about that's actually enjoying this sun coming up and the changing colours. And, I find it really special.
Absolutely love it. And was it busy? The market pretty busy this morning?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of a steady market all day. It's a very dog-friendly market, Seed of Life market. Yeah, it's like they had some drummers there today and a guy playing guitar. You're up at the foothills of the Dandenong. So I was setting up and there was all clouds over the top of the Dandenongs, and it's pretty up there, It's lovely.
That's absolutely love it. And it's so nice. This is what I love about this industry, beekeepers helping other beekeepers. So I absolutely love that.
Yeah. Because
you've got your own little business, which we'll get into in a second. But before we do, now tell me if I'm wrong or right. I detect a bit of an accent going on there.
Oh, wow. Is it still there?
tell us about that, Carmel.
Well, it's hard to tell. So I was born in South Australia. So South Australians were settled more like it was a very English pommy, I still say dance and plant and chance and stuff like that. But my dad, he came over from Germany. So there's some other really, weird words that I sometimes, there's probably still funny pronunciations that, so it's a weird, I have a, people can't pick it. He used to say, come here. And like I used to say com as well instead of come here, there's probably a bit of a mix of something in there. And when I moved up to Queensland after high school, they said, are you from England? I'm like, no. Are you from New Zealand? I'm like, no, I'm an Aussie. I'm from South Australia. And so they thought I was really weird. I spoke really weird when I was up in Queensland. Yeah.
That's so funny because the South Australians have this – accent, and you hit the nail on the head. It's a bit like a pommy sort of English type noise to it. So twang,
twang, twang. Yeah, even though I've been in Melbourne for 30 plus years now, that's interesting. Yeah, obviously I don't hear it because I'm on the inside listening to my voice, not on the outside. Yeah.
So no, that's funny. So born in South Australia. We moved to Queensland for a bit. Been in Melbourne for 30 years. So what was before we sort of get here all about your journey with bees, Carmel? So what was your profession before doing sort of the bees?
I've had a few. I went to a special music school in Adelaide, and so moved up to at the end of high school. My mum's family was up there. So moved to Queensland. I did 2 years of a Bachelor of Music, and then I got asked to audition for the World Expo 88 Marching Band. So I had that year as a professional musician in the marching band. Then I gave all of that up and went into hairdressing and paid my way, you know, to go to hairdressing school, because at 21 I was too old to be an apprentice. Yeah, I know, like, amazing, right? You're too old to be an apprentice at 21. But it was great that I could pay to go to a private school. And then during that year, I met this guy and we got married, and he was a chemical engineer in biotechnology. And so he got a job here in Melbourne. So we moved down to Melbourne and I finished off my apprenticeship here, and, you know, became a hairdresser. That relationship ended and I was with another bloke and started having kids and kept doing hairdressing. But I started writing, my music kind of came back, and I started writing songs and created this kids show called Cuddly Critters.
Okay.
You know, I guess I inherited stuff from my mum because she was a teacher, and so education's always been kind of important to me. Anyway, ended up as a single mum, had a few labour jobs and stuff like that, still kept trying to develop Cuddly Critters. But eventually I just had to get a job, and I ended up at a primary school where my son was going. I've got two sons, but I shared them with my dad, so they're dad. And so this was in Yarraville. I ended up at Yarraville West Primary School as an integration aide.
Okay.
And also ended up eventually in the front office as the front office lady. But while I was there, I was running the choir, and I also became a face painter, and I started a face painting class at the school. And then to supplement my income, because integration aides don't get paid as well as teachers, I used to do, I was a security guard doing crowd control at places like the Palais and the Grand Prix and Big Day Out and stuff like that. So, yeah, did quite a few big venues. Moomba, I used to run the front gate of Moomba for a few years.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a really mixed bag there. Come on, absolutely.
I've done all sorts of stuff. Yeah, lots of customer service stuff, really, though. And, you know, teaching the choir, teaching face painting, being an integration aide, helping kids out. Yeah, so there's been a bit of a common theme, you know, in a lot of the stuff that's there, helping to take care of people.
That's awesome. That's a really, I absolutely love that, what you've done in the past. Now, it would be, you know, so 10 years ago, you fell into the wonderful world of bees. So tell us about that, Carmel.
Yeah, so I was working at Yarraville West Primary School. I think I was probably a front office lady by then. And I was renting a house, and I was doing some spring cleaning one spring, funnily enough, and I'd chopped off all these branches. I'd done some pruning, and it wasn't hard rubbish collection yet. So I dragged these branches around the side of the bungalow where you just don't grow. And I've noticed these bees flying, and I'm like, so I've looked up and I'm like, oh my God, there's bees coming in and out of the bungalow wall. There was this, like, a hole about the size of a harmonica, if you can imagine that. And I was acutely aware of, you know, the talk overseas of colony collapse disorder and the worry about that. And I already had a dog and a cat and some fish and some chickens. I grew up on Kangaroo Island on 80 acres. I didn't even mention that. So I've always been brought up around the bush and nature and animals and wildlife and all that kind of stuff. So it was very obvious to me that I had to save these bees. And I've informed the landlord, like the real estate agent, and they've got back to me and said, oh, the landlord wants to poison them. And I'm like, do you not, like, do you not know what's going on? Like, you can't poison them. Like, do you not know what's going on overseas? Like, there's colony collapse disorder. We need our bees, you know. And I'm like, so I said, look, I said, if I can pay to get them removed safely, like, can I keep them? And I don't know if you remember, there was, I think his name was Adrian. He used to ride a rickshaw around Footscray.
Yes.
Area.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was like one of the first guys, I think, in Melbourne to start putting hives in as host hives. Yes. And one of the parents at the school that was running the prep gardening group. So I've started talking to her about bees and honey and stuff like that. And she said, oh, he would be the guy to talk to. And so, and she said, oh, they have hives. No. So anyway, I was at a face painting. It was the Sustainable Festival in Footscray, face painting, and Adrian was there. She said, oh, they're going to have a bee stand there. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll have to talk to him.
Yeah, awesome.
And this lady called Angela came around and had a word to me. She was there at the stand as well. And as it turned out, Angela Casella and I, we lived in literally the same estate in Sunshine West.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, so I discovered the bees in November of 2012, and I think this was January. So it took me a while to research to find somebody to cut them out. I just rang the council, and they put me onto someone. And she said, yeah, look, I can help you. You know, I'm happy to help teach you and take you under my wing. And we meet once a month at the Buddhist temple. There's some hives there. You can come and learn there. And I'm like, oh, cool. This is really cool. So so I had the bees cut out. The landlord said I could keep them, which, like, that's pretty lucky. But yeah, I thought, awesome. Well, I've already got chooks and a dog and cats and fish, so what's a hive, you know? And then Angela taught me how to catch swarms, and so it was like really exciting. And we can go and chase swarms, you know. So one hive became two, became three, became four, became five, and like she was like, she gave me the apricot of practice, so I knew I could only have two on my property. So I was like, all right, I now need to find some new homes for my hives, and that's where I started looking at maybe hosting them out. And then, of course, all the teachers at school wanted honey, and then you start doing the numbers and it's like, if I get this much honey from a hive and I have this many hives, and you know, as you can tell, I've already had a few careers, I can reinvent myself. So I'd been at the school for about 8 years by then, and I was kind of ready to do something different.
Yes, yep.
So that was where I thought, I wonder if I could turn this into a profession. And I thought, right now I'm a hobby beekeeper. I need to become a professional beekeeper. So, yeah, that was about looking for work with a professional beekeeper so I could make that shift.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened then? So you're looking for a beekeeper and you started working for a commercial beekeeper at that time?
Yeah, I did. I put it out there, and again, Angela Casella came to the rescue. She forwarded me this link on Facebook and goes, "Have you seen this post?" And it was the Bunyip Beekeeper, and I'd already been following him because he was selling Ligurian bees, which came from Kangaroo Island. So already I'm going, bing, 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 Kangaroo Island. All right, there's a connection there, and she. He was looking for a staff member, and it was only 2 days a week. And I thought, well, this would be a good transition. And he wanted someone that had been beekeeping, I think it was 5 years at the time, and I think I'd been beekeeping four.
Yep.
But I thought, oh, close enough. And I know I'm an educator. Like, I'd also taught hairdressing for a while there as well. I did, it was when they were first bringing out the trainer and assessor. And I did certificate one and certificate two because they hadn't even created certificate four yet. And so it's like teaching's teaching, and you can impart knowledge in any subject, really, if you're passionate about it. And, you know, I have this way of being able to break things down into simple steps so people can understand it. So he wanted someone to help with his lease hives and his, you know, the mentoring that he'd put in place. So I applied and I got the job, and it was 2 days a week. So I thought, well, I can still work at the school and I can do that on the weekends, you know. And so that's what I did for at spring of 2016.
That's awesome. How long were you with Bunya Beekeeper for, Carmel?
Yeah, I did two seasons with him.
Okay, two seasons.
Yeah.
And now we won't get into the nitty gritty, but so the Bunya Beekeeper, unfortunately, sort of his business, you know, changed things, and it's sort of he went to move on. There is probably just touching base on this, and sort of, I suppose, because having a bee business is hard. You know, you've got one, which also too, I'm going to put in the show notes your website, cmghoneybee.com.au, and also to Instagram and Facebook. So I'll put those handles in there for people to check you out, because you are amazing. I think, you know, as far as people doing the educational side of things, you are the guru at it. So, you know, and I really mean that. But I think, so I'm going to put that in there. So if anyone's looking for somebody in Melbourne to do like a bee sort of classes, or, you know, like an incursion is the word I'm looking for. I'll put your details.
Yeah, love incursions as well. Yes. Love going to schools and doing talks and imparting knowledge. So that's one of my passions.
Yeah, yep. That's awesome. And I'll put that, so anyone wants to reach out, and obviously, you know, give you a follow, Instagram and Facebook. So, but just touching, just touching base on this, and as I said, we won't get into the nitty gritty of it, but having a bee business is insanely difficult, you know what I mean? And I think it really difficult to do on a cash flow side of things, because it's almost like a boom or bust with springtime as being full on, and then wintertime you'd sell a bit of honey and that sort of it. As far, what was probably how could I ask this question? What was the thing that you saw where the business could have done better?
Are you talking about mine or the Bunya Beekeeper?
No, the Bunya Beekeeeper. Just touching base on that.
Yeah. You know, hindsight's an amazing thing. I think trying to expand too quickly.
Okay. Yep.
In too many areas, and maybe spending money on areas that it could have gone in, it would have been better spent in other places. For example, like I don't have a uniform yet. I'm pretty close to having one.
Yeah, okay.
But for me, you know, and I don't have signage on my car, because right now I'm only one person.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, if I drive around in a car and everyone can see what I do, I'm only one person, and I have to really balance and manage my workload, and part of my workload is me being a balanced person. So balancing work, rest and play is really important to keep moving forward. I think sometimes you can expand too fast, too quickly, if you haven't put the right things into place.
Yeah, okay. No, it's good advice. And the reason sort of why I asked that, just touching base on that question, as I said, we won't get into the nitty-gritty of it, but it's, you know, there's quite a few people who listen to the podcast, you know, are wanting to either branch out, you know, they're sick of, you know, their job, you know, working in an office, or they're semi-retired, want to do something else. So it's actually really good advice to say that, you know, and to sort of watch where your money goes, because that cash flow is difficult. And if when you do have
I'll be honest, I'm still struggling, and especially the winter period, and that's why school, thank goodness, like COVID was tough, because I lost about half of my business. Oh, wow. And thank goodness there was that payment from the government. I'm so grateful for that, because that got me through. Because, you know, bees being animal husbandry, you know, I still had to check my hives, and with COVID things in place, COVID, what's the good practice in place, I was still able to do my one-on-one mentoring and check my hives and collect honey. But all of my school talks and incursions and all of that stuff, towards the end, I started doing some video things, like Zoom stuff. But, you know, that was really tough. So when beekeeping is so seasonal. But like, I think the other thing, if you're going to go into business as a beekeeper, is there's commercial side of things, and there's this hobby beekeeping, which is becoming an industry in its own right.
Yes.
And because I'm not a commercial beekeeper. I've got 20 to 25 hives.
Yes.
But I help look after about another 50.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and so I think within beekeeping, find out what you're passionate about and maybe have two or three main things that you focus on, because as far as I'm concerned, if we're a beekeeper, we're all on the same team and we can all help each other.
Totally agree.
And if you know, like the referrals, I've got cut out people that's what they do. Mm. So I'm not interested in pulling, you know, panel walls apart, and it's like, but I will refer people, and it's like, it's that business to business, you know, the number of, like, people go, why don't you have a shop? I'm like, are you serious? It's like, there's enough shops around. I can point you to this person. This is a good person. This is a good person. This person has integrity, you know, and it's like, I think that business to business referral stuff. And if you find two or three things that you're really passionate about and really good at, there's enough other people filling in the gaps for you that we can all help each other.
Mm, yeah, totally agree.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally agree, Carmel. So as what would be the hardest part about your business as such? You know, obviously you mentioned with COVID. So, you know, COVID aside, you know, what would be the hardest part?
Wow. That's a really tough question. Sometimes I think at the moment I'm experiencing some growing pains in that I probably need another person, another me.
Yeah, of course.
But I can't afford another me yet. Yes. So I'm really in that fork in my business at the moment, which is, and that's cool. Like, you know, it's a good problem to be in. I'll be 55 at the end of this year. So, you know, I'm not an old person, but I'm not getting any younger.
Yep.
And also I've gone through menopause as well. And so physically, there's some physical stuff that I have struggled with.
As in, like weight, like lifting heavy boxes of honey and that type of thing?
Yeah, lifting heavy boxes of honey, but also but just energy in general.
Yes.
I mean, you would have no idea I didn't know how much hormones and stuff, like, you know, it really knocks you around. So I take my hat off to women, especially women around my age that are, you know, working independently and doing something physical. It's like, yeah, it can be tough, you know.
Any advice for any sort of women sort of, you know, going through or having, you know, been through menopause? Would you say any advice for them?
Do your research. So, you know, I'm finding that there are certain foods that can support our hormones.
Okay.
And like beekeeping, I'm a very strong person, but I'm not particularly fit. And so I'm now learning that, like, that aerobic fitness, doing some sort of regular exercise, and it doesn't have to be a lot, but it needs to be regular. It can just be walking.
Yes.
But as long as it's regular and you're, you know, and also balance, like I said, balance of work, rest and play. If you can feel yourself being overstressed and falling apart, you know, give yourself a day off. Yeah, give yourself time to rest and recharge is really important. In anyone in business, I think, is, and that was why this last year, I've actually now got two phones because I, for me, I really had to segregate when are my business hours and when is my time. Because, you know, I understand that customers, they're thinking about their bees on the weekends and in the evenings. But, you know, and I give them a Saturday. My business hours are Tuesday to Saturday, 9 till 6.
Okay.
It's like,
yes,
that's my time, and I still need to run a house and, you know, spend time with my family and do stuff for me. And, yeah, so I think having clear, learning to have clear boundaries and learning to ask for help as well.
Yes, yeah, no, so, definitely.
Yeah, so it's a, like, it's been a great growing and learning experience for me, not just as a business but as a person.
That's really good advice. You know, I mean, as far as the doing the exercise and eating certain foods, not eating other foods. So
I totally agree
with that, Carmel. So, well, here's a question on that business side of things. So I'm giving you $10,000 to spend on your business. Tell me what you're doing with that money.
Oh, wow. $10,000.
While you think of that question, the reason why I asked that, you know, 10 grand, it's sort of, it's a lot of money, $10,000, but it, when it comes to bees and bee equipment, it doesn't go that far. So,
no.
So that's why I asked that, that question, because a lot of people.
I would pay a bookkeeper.
Okay.
Pay a bookkeeper. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Good advice. And why is that, Carmel?
Because it's like there's lots of, when you're running your own business, there's lots of little jobs, or probably marketing. No, bookkeeping, because I don't mind doing a bit of marketing. There's so many little jobs. There's so many hats that you wear. And I'm learning more and more that if you want to work on your business, you can't work in your business. Mm. And so learning to delegate and going, what sparks me joy? But there's some things that just need to be done, you know? And, I would definitely spend it on a bookkeeper.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's good. Good advice. I like that. And now, and what about your business over the next 5 years? So, you know, between the age of 55 and 60, what are your plans, Carmel, with the bees?
Yeah, so there's quite a few projects that I would love to get off the ground. And I've actually, these last 6 months, I've started investing in myself to do some business study.
Oh, okay.
So I can learn to work more on my business than in my business. Learning to invest in yourself. It's an amazing thing. I'm so glad I've started doing that. I have a hive at a childcare centre that has produced some amazing, there's been some amazing ripple effects around well-being, which I wasn't expecting, and I'm wanting to explore that as a program. Apitherapy is also something that really interests me. Yeah.
Okay. Apitherapy. Okay. Tell us about that.
Apitherapy is different forms of medicine or healing that come out of a hive.
Yes.
Yep. And so, you know, api being api mellifera, the bee that we play with, the honey bee. And there's many different products. I mean, the honey itself, you know, and I mean, Manuka honey is a well-known one, but honeys in general are amazing. There's the propolis, which the bees use as their own medicine. There's bee venom therapy.
Yep.
There's breathing in the air of a hive. They use that for asthma and tuberculosis. There are bee beds that you can lie on. And over in Europe, the apitherapy has now been recognized by the World Health Organization as a traditional medicine. And there's now apitherapists working alongside local doctors and hospitals. And they're starting to, in fact, there was a post today, I haven't read it yet, but it sounds like I don't know what country it's in, they're building an apitherapy centre next to a hospital.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So it is an area that really interests me. And you know, I'm also really into like energy and Reiki and stuff like that as well. So, and sound vibrational, yes. You know, yep. Sound vibration and stuff like that. So yeah, this is an area that I'm learning more about that I find really fascinating. Go ahead.
So I was just about to say, does that mean you're a Pisces?
No, I'm not a Pisces. I'm a Sagittarian.
Sagittarian. Well, there you go. I
was way off. Yeah, the philosopher.
there we go. I was going to be more off if I tried. Interesting. It's interesting, yeah. You're mentioning about the obviously apitherapy and all those cool things that, you know, bees do produce, collect, make. You know, healing qualities are absolutely incredible.
They are. So yeah. So I have thoughts around a program that I'm developing, and if it proves fruitful, I've got to collect some data first to make sure that, you know, I'm not just, you know, off with the fairies. And so yeah, expanding that into, you know, helping other people is something that I'm looking into. Obviously, I'm also helping out with Hive Buddy as well.
Yes.
And you know, helping to grow that. So I think that's a useful platform that's new, and offers something to people. Obviously, it was great during when we were all in lockdown, but I think there's still a need out there.
Yes.
For people that, you know, want to be part of a community but don't necessarily want to go to a bee club or such, but want some help.
I agree. I think a podcast, maybe it was about 10 ago with Simon Mildren talking about
Hive
Buddies. So, yeah, if anyone listening wants to hear more about Hive Buddies, check it out for sure. So, really cool. Well, you're doing some amazing things, Carmel, and that was an absolute – that time just flew by. So, really amazing, and keep up your great work. And once again, for those listening, I'll put in the show notes – your website and social media handles so everyone can check you out. And
So I mainly hang around in the western suburbs of Melbourne.
Okay. Yes, yep.
Yeah.
Did you cross the bridge? Will you cross the bridge to come over this side of town?
Yeah, I'm happy to cross the bridge, yeah. Oh, well, maybe not for mentoring because, you know, when you've got your clients and you're running around, you know, you want an efficient run. There's no point me if I spend an hour from someone driving away. But for a school talk or something like that, yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to, you know, do that or kinders or whatever. So, that's fine.
Awesome.
I don't mind a little bit of driving.
Yes, yeah. I think beekeepers, we do a little bit of driving. Well, thank you so much, Carmel. That was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, my pleasure. It was fun.
Absolutely appreciate your time. So you take care. Obviously, we've got a couple more days, I think, or a week, and it's winter time.
Yeah, I know. I've got my last harvest is on Tuesday, and I'll be extracting all of that on Wednesday, and then I am done.
Done. That's awesome. Any plans for winter? You going away or doing anything before the silly season?
Funny that.
Yeah.
Yes, I get to see my grandchildren for the first time in about 2.5 years.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so the week after next. So next week I've got extraction, and then the week after that I'm running away for about 5 days. It's not long, but, you know, I'll get to give them a cuddle. They're up in Townsville.
Townsville. I love Townsville. The weather.
Yeah, I'm going to escape the cold for a few days.
That'll be awesome, the weather. Well,
I'm really looking forward to it.
Have a wonderful trip and stay safe. And thank you once
again. I will. And I'm trying to catch up with Fraser Coast. I think it's the Fraser Coast beekeepers up there.
Ooh.
And, you know, I'm coming home a day early. They've actually got a festival on in Townsville all about bees and native bees and stuff like that. But anyway, I'm gonna hook up with a beekeeper up there and see his setup and that sort of thing. So, I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
Because it's so different. You know, we live in the same country, but completely different climates, completely different ways of beekeeping.
Couldn't agree more. Chalk and cheese, isn't it? Absolute.
It is, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I can still learn heaps. I'm just still learning so much about beekeeping, and it keeps you passionate. It's like, oh, there's always something new to discover. You know, it's like, it's never boring.
Exactly. I totally agree. Well, you have yourself a wonderful trip up in Townsville, and look forward to chatting to you and seeing you again in the not too distant future. Kamal, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Ben. It's been awesome.
Take care. All the best. Bye.
Bye.
How awesome was that? That was fantastic hearing Kamal talking about, obviously, her wonderful journey with bees. So absolutely amazing. So don't forget, if you want to hear someone, let us know. Shoot me for a text message, 0437077792. And even just send me a message. It's winter time. It's my downtime. I go for about 100 phone calls a day in spring to about one. So send me a text message, because it gets pretty quiet over here at the Ben's Bees HQ. So anyway, thank you once again for everyone for listening, and don't forget, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and take care of those bees.